Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And I want to say welcome to all of you that are listening, no matter what part of the world that you listen to me in. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you all to another God's Word to Man broadcast. Now, the phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, hey, the phone lines are open at any time. Call in. Whatever your prayer request, I will pray with you. If you have any comments on the lesson, if you got any comments on the lesson, the phone lines are open at all times. But I want to stress this, that it's not a thing where we're going to be arguing over the line. You know, some people call in and they come in the wrong type of spirit. Let's be civil about it. Amen. So if you got any comments about the lesson, call at this number 323-8703. If you got any questions about the lesson, call at this number 323-870-3403. Amen. Praise be to God. And to those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives it to us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So, without further ado, for those of you that have been following us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, you know how we do this. Before we go into the message, go into any lesson, we pray. Amen. And so those of you who are first-time listeners, hey, that's what we do. So wherever you listen to me at, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Or, unless you're driving, okay, we don't want you to close your eyes while you're driving and praying. But, hey, just say a prayer along with us, amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of thy precious Son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and God. And we are grateful, Lord God, that you are Lord and God. Therefore, Lord, we take this time in humility because we desperately so need to approach you in humility, that we may receive the light, the understanding, the revelation we need. So therefore, Lord, just don't bless us with the presence of your spirit, but release through your spirit what we so desperately need. So therefore, Lord God, we want to thank you today for giving us this opportunity to petition you that you would do this thing for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you been listening. The Lord is worthy to be praised. For those of you that have been following, you know I'm on this series concerning the Jehovah's Witness. In fact, amen, I want to open up with a opening scripture before I go any deeper. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And this opening scripture will come from the word of the Lord Jesus Christ that he sent through by his messenger, the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, amen, that he spoke of in Matthew 17 and Malachi chapter 4, that he promised to send him, amen, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, amen. And I want to read from one of the messages called Message 42, which was the 42nd time that Christ has sent his angel messenger, the Elijah, with words for mankind, and especially they that will be of the bride. Amen. And he sent this message out June of 1939. I don't have a problem giving you dates because I want you to ask God about it. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to ask the Lord about it. There's nothing hidden here. Nothing being, undermining or nothing like that. I'm just come straight out with you. Okay? Amen. And I want to read one of these verses of what he said, and this will be our opening scripture in this series also. Amen. I've been dealing with three opening scriptures in this series. Amen. Glory to God. And the word of God said, contend with no man only for the truth. Remember the Lord Jesus who intercedes to the Father for mankind, that he shall draw all who will come unto life eternal. Amen. We're told, believers, to contend with no man, only for the truth. And so therefore, as believers, we have to, as we are told in Jude, contend for the faith that once was delivered to the saints. Amen. It's time to stand and proclaim the word of God. It's time to stand and cry out against abomination, sin, iniquity, wickedness. Amen. It's time to quit hiding in the corners and in the shadows. Now, I'm not here trying to make you a renegade person, but I'm here to show you that we got to stand. And God said, contend for the faith. And see, we're sitting back in the body of Christ. We're sitting back and we're letting the devil, through man, impose his will and these doctrines of man and these doctrines of devils upon even innocent believers, okay? Newborn babies who don't know no better, okay? And here we are, those that supposed to know and supposed to be growing or have grown in Christ, we're hiding in the trenches, except a few of us who are willing to cry loud and spare not. And the sad thing about it, the few that is willing to stand and cry loud and spare not is being persecuted by the ones who's hiding in the trenches. Amazing, isn't it? Amen. Now, I'm in this series on the Jehovah Witness, and in this series, we're talking and looking at what the Jehovah Witness believe and what they teach. And some of you say, well, why is this important that I know this? Because number one, that you may know how to minister to them the word of truth. Number two, that you don't be deceived, okay? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know the word for yourself, they will say some stuff that really sound good to your ears, okay? And the funny thing about your adversary, the devil, is that the devil, that's one of the things he do when he masquerades stuff. He'll say stuff that sounds good, and you're thinking, oh, that sounds good, and you'll jump right into it, hook, line, sinker, and find out later on that it's not of God. Amen? So, therefore, you know, this is why I'm going into this series. Number one, that you may know how to minister the word of truth to them. Because I'm here to tell you, it's a lot of my met. Nice people. Don't get me wrong. I mean nice people. But nice ain't going to get it. Now, some of you say, well, I thought we supposed to be nice. We do. But just being nice and not being born again, it's not going to get it. Just being nice, but teaching me doctrine of devils or doctrines of men against the true teaching of Christ, it's not going to get it. Amen? And once again, I'm going to this series because, listen, that you as a believer may know that you be not deceived. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so what I've been doing in this series is that I've been giving you research about what they say and believe, and then I give you what the Word of God has to say. Now, I'm going to stick with the Word of God, okay? Now, if some of us in among the body of Christ, we won't speak up because maybe some of our kinfolks are Jehovah's Witnesses, or some of our good buddies and good friends are Jehovah's Witnesses, and therefore we stay on the silent tip, knowing that some of the stuff that they be saying is not of God. But because we don't want to lose that friendship or that relationship as far as family, we take it. And we think that that's what God's talking about, love and peace. Now, love don't mean you accept abomination. Love does not mean you accept the doctrine of men or doctrine of devil. We're in Christianity, I believe strongly that we have got the love and the peace thing mixed up. We think that love and peace means accepting sin. No. That is not what it means. We think love and peace means that you just sit there quiet all the time. No, that's not what it means. You speak up and you stand in love because your desire to see people walk on the right path. Amen? Praise be to God. So tonight, we are on, and as I told those of you who have been following me in this series, that this series on Jehovah Witness is the center theme of this series, but this series is broken up into different sections, okay? And so it's just like this past Sunday, we looked at the founder of the Jehovah Witness, and it was part two of the founder. So today, we're looking at tonight, Jehovah Witness, the Trinity, part two, okay? Now, in part one, what we look at is that, you know, the Jehovah Witness I read to you, they said they were speaking against the Trinity and it being three gods in one, okay? Which they're right. The Trinity is not three gods in one, okay? But when you look at what they teach about it, they're saying that there's two gods, okay? Because they have their book called the NWT, the New World Translation. And if you ever read it, or especially if you look at John chapter 1, verse 1, you will see what I'm talking about, because they call Jesus a God, little g. And they say that Jesus is a little g God. He's not Almighty God. So they have made it that it's two gods. But when we looked at the Trinity part one, we looked at what Jesus said. Jesus said that the Lord said it through Isaiah. He said, I am God, and besides me, there's none else. Hallelujah. So they write that the Trinity is not three gods in one, but they're wrong trying to say that there's more than one true God. No, there's only one true God. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're going to go on tonight. And through this part of the series, I want to run about three or four more questions by you that I believe in this part of the series we're going to answer and look at. Okay, amen. Now, I'm going to run these three to four questions by you, and then I'm going to come behind and I'm going to tell you what, once again, the Jehovah Witness believe and teach about the quote Trinity. Okay, hallelujah. One of the things is that one of the questions is this: was the Trinity doctrine conceived by Jesus and the early Christians? Okay. Does the Trinity confuse John chapter 1, verse 1 through 2? Is Jehovah a Trinity, three persons in one God? And number four, does the Old Testament provide clear teaching about the Trinity? Okay. Amen. Once again, I'm going to list these four questions again, just in case you write it down. Number one, was the Trinity doctrine conceived by Jesus and the early Christians? Does the Trinity confuse John chapter 1, verse 1 through 2? Number three, is Jehovah a Trinity, three persons into one God? Number four, does the Old Testament provide clear teaching about the Trinity? Now, I'm pretty sure that through this part of the series, we're going to be able to answer, you know, all four of those questions. Amen. Now, I want to give to you what the Jehovah Witness teach and believe about the Trinity once again. Okay, I read this to you before. I want to read this before you again. Amen. And it says, the obvious conclusion is, therefore, now, once again, they got a book called the NWT, but they wrote some other books. They got other books. Okay, so you'll hear me naming some of the title of the other books that they wrote and what they said, their doctrines and their beliefs and their teachings being also in these other books. Amen. Now, in a book that they got called Let God Be True, they said that it is the obvious conclusion is therefore that Satan is the originator of the Trinity doctrine. In the same book, they said sincere persons who want to know the true God and serve him find it a bit difficult to love and worship a complicated, freakish looking three-headed God. In the same book, Let God Be True, that the Trinity doctrine was not conceived by Jesus or the early Christians. Same book. They said the plain truth is that this is another of Satan's attempt to keep God-fearing people from learning the truth of Jehovah and his son, Christ Jesus. No, there is no Trinity. All right. In another book, they got called The Word, Who Is He, According to John. They said any trying to reason out the Trinity. Now notice they said any trying to reason out the Trinity teaching leads to confusion of mind. So the Trinity teaching confuses the meaning of John chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. It does not simplify it or make it clear or easily understandable. Okay. In another book, they got called What Does God Require of Us? They said, is Jehovah a Trinity? Three persons and one God? No. Jehovah the Father is the one is the only true God. Jesus is his firstborn son, and he is subject to God. The Father is greater than the Son. The Holy Spirit is not a person. It is God acting force in the book, What Does God Require? Okay? Hallelujah. One more. The book that they got called Should You Believe in the Trinity? Okay? They say this. Thus, neither the 39 books of the Hebrew Scriptures nor the canon of 27 inspired books of the Christian Greek Scriptures provide any clear teaching of the Trinity. Thus, the testimony of the Bible and of history make clear that the Trinity was unknown throughout biblical times and for several centuries thereafter. Okay. Now, I read to you what the Jehovah's Witness believe concerning, quote, the Trinity. And basically, to sum it up, they don't believe concerning the Trinity at all, period. Okay? They don't believe, period. You can tell from what the information I gave you and read to you, what they say out of their different books and pamphlets or whatever, that overall they do not believe concerning the Trinity. Okay? Now, as we go into the Bible here, let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 1. The book of Genesis chapter 1. Amen. The book of Genesis chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Now, and one of the things that I read to you that they said that neither the Old Testament, when they said the Hebrew Scripture, they talk about the Old Testament, because we know that the Bible was not originally written in English, the Old Testament in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. So when they said neither the Hebrew Scriptures nor the Greek Scriptures, you know, provide any clear teaching about a Trinity, they're wrong, okay? Now, here's the thing that we're going to see about this thing. Now, when you're looking at the Old Testament, from which we're going to start in a minute, the Old Testament actually talks about the Trinity, okay? But the New Testament give you light. Now, I'm going to say something else behind this too, and don't worry, we're going to get all this together. The New Testament give you light on what it's really called, okay? Amen. And I'm here to tell you like this, it's really not called the Trinity, okay? I like calling it what the Bible calls it. We're going to look at what the Bible calls it. It's not really the Trinity. You hear some Christians refer to it as the Trinity. I don't call it the Trinity. I call it what the Word of God calls it. I don't call it the Trinity, okay? But bear with me for a minute here. As they talk about, they don't believe in the Trinity. And they said that neither the Old Testament nor the New provide any clear teaching about the Trinity. Well, I disagree with them from what the Word of God shows. But, however, I do have to say about the Old Testament, on one sense, is not really made clear to us, but it is talked about. Okay? The New Testament provides the revelation of making it more clear. Do you understand what I'm saying? As we get ready to see in a minute. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to look at this verse here. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. He's worthy to be praised. I sense the Holy Ghost. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And the Word of God said, and God said, amen, and God said, let us, if you got a highlighter, underline that word us, let us make man in our image. Underline the word our. Let us, underline us, make man in our, underline our, image. After our likeness, them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, notice what the Word of God says, as God gave Moses to write this, okay? He said, let us, us is a plural word, right? Right. Make man in our. Our is a plural word, okay? So for God to make a comment, he had to be speaking to somebody. You understand what I'm saying? For him to say, let us, and what this also show, that this us and our was equal to him in power. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Because he said, let us make. They share the same power. They share the same creating power. Whoever he was speaking to shares the same creative power as he did. Glory. Yeah, God the Father. Huh. That's why he said, let us make. And whoever he was speaking to shares the same image. Or is the same image. And man was to be patterned after their image. You understand what I'm saying? Because he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You know, because when he said, let us and our, you know, some said, well, who was he speaking to? That's a good question. Okay. And what it shows you right here, whoever he was speaking to had the same creative power as he did. Same image as he did. They share that. They're equal in power, equal in image. Glory. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Go to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Now, once again, this series, I want to say this again because I said it before. In this series, I'm not going to be in and cover every single thing, okay? I'm going to be, that wouldn't be true because the Jehovah's Witnesses tell you the truth, they got so many, you know, kind of strange doctrines and teachings that it's not even funny, okay? Amen. But this, for those of you who study the scriptures, this should give you a jump start, study even more. Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 11. Remember that this the Tower of Babel. And here these people, gonna be geniuses, is gonna call, they said, let's build a tower to heaven. Now the overall purpose of why they were doing it, because they thought that, well, if a flood ever come again, we'll beat it. We ain't gonna get caught up in it. Okay, you're gonna outdo God. Okay. So they weren't thinking just like Satan when he was Lucifer wasn't thinking, okay? And so as they building this thing, and God began to take notice of it, he said, you know, people is one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do it. And, you know, God said nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Now, look at verse 7, what God said. He said, go to let us. Uh-oh, there you go, speaking plural again. Let us go down. And they're confounded. Their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Glory. So once again, whoever God is speaking to, they move together. And they, once again, they are equal in power. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Hallelujah. Let us. Hallelujah. Equal in power. Move together. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He's worthy to be praised and be glorified. Amen. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. And look what the word of God says here. Amen. Isaiah said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me, Lord. Now, he said, the Lord said, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Not just for me, for us. So whoever God will send. So once again, there's a pluralized again. And it's showing that whoever this us that God the Father is speaking to, they're equal in authority with God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Hallelujah. Now, having looked at those three places where God spoke pluralized tone, okay, this right here is really referring to what, like I said, some Christians refer to and call, which we're going to see a little bit later what it's really called. This is the Trinity. Okay. Now, as I told you, the New Testament provides greater light to this speaking here. Now, some of you said, well, what do you mean? Okay, let's go to 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. And see, this is the good thing about the New Testament. It provides revelation to some things that's of the Old Testament, okay? Amen. It provides revelation. It provides revelation of why some things was done in the Old Testament. 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse 7. First John chapter 5. We're going to go to verse 7. Now, look what the Word of God said. See, just now, and what I'm showing you, this is the revelation of who this us that God with the Father was talking about, okay? Amen? This is what he says. He says, the Word of God said, for there are three that bear record in heaven. That bear record where? In heaven. That what? Witnesses in heaven. That testify in heaven. He said there's three. Now look what he named. The Father, the Word, and what? The Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One. Do you see that? So when God was saying in Genesis, let us make man in our image, who will go for us? Let us go down and confound. He was talking to what? The three that is one. He was referring to the Word and the Holy Ghost. Along with himself, these three are one. That's the us he was talking about. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. See, the New Testament makes it clear who he was talking about. He was talking to the Word and the Holy Ghost. Now, who is the Word? I'm going to give you a scripture for you to write down. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. The Word that was made flesh. We beheld him as the only begotten of the Father. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's talking with Jesus. You understand that? Hallelujah. When he spoke, he was speaking to all of them being as a whole, as one. Notice that the Bible said that these three are one. Okay? Now, when you look up the word one, thank you, Jesus, in the Word of God, the word one, the original Greek word for that means a primary numeral, one, or in other words, one another. Okay? These three, see, this is what it means. It means these three are one, or in other words, one God that is called, we will see in a minute, the Godhead. It also means they are one of another, which means the Father is of the Son, okay? The Son is of the Spirit is of the Father. All of them, they're one. One another, okay? Hallelujah. Not one, quote, as being just three different gods, okay? They're one. In other words, and then we'll go over this in another time, there are three persons that makes one being. Hallelujah. They're one of another. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this us that God was talking to in Genesis and in Isaiah, he was talking to, the Bible calls it the Godhead. We're going to see that in a minute. He was talking to the Word that was made flesh, and the Holy Ghost. When he said, because they are what? They're one of another. Not one, quote, as separate different gods. They're one of another. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Harabashata, glory. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And let's see how, see, God was showing his people, even at the time of John the Baptist, this, okay? And many didn't get what was the purpose of this, but you can see from what the scripture told us that there's three that bear record in heaven. He was showing the three here in Matthew chapter 3. Now look at Matthew chapter 3. Now remember, John baptized Christ, okay? Let's look at verse 16 and see what happened. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, okay? And the word of God says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, what? Immersed in the water, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw what? The Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased. So you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit right there. And what he was doing, he was showing the fullness of the Godhead. He was showing the three, according to 1 John chapter 5, he was showing the three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost was shown right there. Hallelujah. Glory to Bashata, glory. I sense the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Ghost. Witness of the Spirit. See, that's what God was showing right here. Okay? He was showing what we saw in 1 John chapter 5. He was showing the Godhead. Now, amen. So once again, when God was saying, let us, okay, create, let us make, let us do this, do that, he was speaking as far as three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, because they are co-equal in power and authority. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Now, once again, let's go to the book of Acts chapter 17. And let's talk about what it's really called. And I just mentioned it to you, but we're going to look at it because, like I said, many Christians call it the Trinity. I'm going to call it what the Bible calls it. The Bible doesn't call it the Trinity. In fact, even if you got a Bible concordance and look up the word Trinity, you'll find out it's not in the Bible. So I'm going to call it what the Bible calls it. Okay? And so many think that because it's, you know, the three, the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, they say Trinity. But let's call it what the Bible calls, okay? Now look at Acts chapter 17, verse 29. Now look what Paul says. He said, in Acts chapter 17, verse 29, he said, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, okay, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. This is what this is. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these being one of another, is called the Godhead. Not the Trinity. It's called the Godhead, okay? Amen. And see, what John, 1 John chapter 5 did, it broke down the Godhead to us to let us know it's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. What John, 1 John chapter 5 also told us what God really meant when he was talking about in Genesis, okay? You understand that? Hallelujah. He was speaking to the whole Godhead. The whole Godhead was involved in this thing of let us create man. Let us make man in our image. The whole Godhead was involved. There was no separation. The whole Godhead. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Three persons that makes one being. That's what the Godhead is. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So Paul said, let us not think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. Amen. He said, we don't need to think that. Okay, the word Godhead there in the original Greek word is theos, which means godlike. It means, as a noun, it means divinity, divine. It means Godhead, okay? The divine, the divinity, in other words, meaning a divine being, okay? Godhead is a divine being, singular. Not divine beings with an S. See, that'd been plural. See, it's the Godhead is the divine being. And like I told you, the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost makes what? One being, which is Almighty God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And some of you say, well, I still, but listen, this is why we study the Word of God, and God has to give you revelation, okay? Now, some of you listen, probably still ain't quite getting it. Take what I'm giving you and go to the Lord with it, okay? But what I'm giving you and letting you know that there is only one God, and the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, those three make one. They're one of another, not separate. One of another, sharing the same nature and all that, not separate. Okay? And those three together makes one being. Because remember, God said, I am God, and besides me, there is no other. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. And see, the word Godhead is only mentioned in the New Testament. It's not mentioned in the Old Testament, okay? Once again, the New Testament is used to give us revelation to the Old Testament, okay? And why God was saying us and we and all that. Who was he talking to? The Godhead as a whole, because the whole Godhead is involved, okay? The whole Godhead was involved in the creation. See, that's why people be messing up, talking about, well, I serve God, but I ain't going to be serving no Jesus. No, you can't divide them up like that. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Okay? Hallelujah. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, see, God made things that you see together for a common goal, okay? It's like he made the sun, the moon, and the stars, you know, all work together for a common goal, making up the solar system. Well, see, that's how the Godhead is. The Godhead, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost all work together for a common goal. And they all make up, those three make up one being, okay? Amen. And see, the things that God created shows his eternal power. Okay? Hallelujah. Of God. He created the heaven and earth. It shows God's wisdom, how things operate, how things produce other things and stuff like that will blow your mind. Amen. A cow eating green grass and producing milk, white milk. You know, you don't think of something like that. But that's in God's creation. He created that different elements of things that come together for a common goal. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Another thing I want to mention is when he said that it's understood by things that are made. And I want to, I'm going to go into this probably in another part in this series. One of the things that were made was man. And when you look at 1 John chapter 5, verse, I mean, excuse me, 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it tell you that Paul said, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Okay, spirit, soul, and body. That God would sanctify you wholly. In other words, holy means complete. So that's what? The completeness of man. Spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Three parts that makes what? One being. Okay? Three parts that makes one being. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in the body. Okay? You understand that? Hallelujah. Now, another part in this series, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But I want to get over to you what is also called the Godhead. Now, let's look at one more scripture. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And verse 9. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Today, the Lord is worthy to be praised and be glorified. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Look what it says about concerning Christ. God, he said in verse 9, he said, for in him, who is the him, talking about Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you see that? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the fullness or the completion of what? The Godhead. Paul said in his word here, dwelleth in him bodily. Okay? Well, he said, what do you mean bodily? Well, the original Greek word for word bodily there is somatikos. Somatikos. Somatikos means corporally or physically, bodily, relating to a physical material body. Jesus Christ, get this, walking here in the flesh is the physical manifestation of the Godhead. When he walked here on earth, he was the physical manifestation of the Godhead. Do you get that? When the word was made flesh. According to John chapter 1. Hallelujah. Man, I sense the Holy Ghost on that. Be the physical manifestation of the Godhead. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. When the Bible talks about the Godhead, the part that was made flesh, that's what we know as Jesus. Do you get it? But see, it's called the Godhead. Amen? Hallelujah. See, Jesus and God are the same person. They're the same being. They're not two different beings. Okay? And see, that's where we go more into that. We'll talk more on that too in the series because, you know, Jehovah's Witness questions Jesus' deity. But I wanna stop it there. I'm gonna stop it here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to stop it here today. And amen. See that the overall thing that I want you to understand, number one, is that it is called the Godhead. It's not called the Trinity. And these three are one. They are one of another. Just like the man's spirit, soul, and body is one of another. Okay? Man himself is not three different beings. Man is one being. Like, for example, you yourself, you're one being, okay? You are a tripart being, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to close it out there because, hey man, I want to say this to those of you that's listening. Take this, what I'm giving you, go back and study. Plain and simple. Go back and study. Take what I'm giving you, go back to study. Study it for yourself. Amen? Glory to God. But to sum it up, as we sum it up before we get ready to go and close, it is not called the Trinity, it is the Godhead. And it is three persons in one. And though the Jehovah's Witness said, nah, that ain't true, ain't no three persons, yes it is. And you notice what I read to you, what they believe, they use the word, it is reason. See, the Jehovah's Witness try to reason out the scriptures. Listen, this is why you study the word and you pray that the Holy Ghost be with you. Because Jesus said in John chapter 6, my words are spirit and they are life. If you try to reason out or try to put logic to the scripture, you're going to go wrong every time. And that's one of the big problems with the Jehovah's Witness. Their interpretation, quote, is not coming from the spirit, the Holy Ghost revealing it to them. It's coming from their, quote, reasoning and trying to put logic to the scriptures. And see, that's one of the reasons why they can't comprehend the working of the Godhead. Are you telling them the Godhead, three persons, one? No, it ain't. And that's you can't even think of a freakish looking God, a three headed God. No, he said no three headed God. They said no three headed God. God is one being. One being. Okay? Amen. One being. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So that's who God was talking. He was speaking concerning the whole Godhead in Genesis 1, in Genesis 11, in Isaiah 6, when he said, let us, our. He was talking about, hey, the Godhead, period. Amen. Glory to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the precious word of truth, your word today. We thank you for this gold opportunity you've given us. Lord God, though we have come to the end of the broadcast, it is not the end of your word. And Lord God, we thank you today, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us and just bless us to go in the word together. Father, I pray that I've made it clear. If not, Lord God, I ask that you would clarify more to those who were listening about this study tonight. Father, help them to understand the real truth, that they be not deceived, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, I thank you, and I give you glory and honor and praise, and I magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' almighty name I pray, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all you that's listening. Lord, say the same. Don't forget tomorrow night, part two, Jehovah's Witness. It should be the deity of Christ, part two, where they question Jesus' overall true lordship as being the God. Like him and God ain't the same person. You know what I'm saying? So, thank God for his blessed word today. Amen. He is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. So, once again, thank God for all you that have been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you. My hands in tow.